Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, April 21st, 2026. Zechariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. James 5:16 says, "The prayer of a grace-righteous believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much." Deb and I want to thank all of you for your prayers for her. The surgery was successful. She has been released from the hospital. She is home. And God's grace and God's timing is perfect in the life of each one of you. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God, but he is also the God of grace and truth. He has a plan for each one of our lives. And that plan for our life is absolutely perfect, and his timing is perfect. And I can't tell you, in talking with the doctors, when Deb was in for surgery, I was here studying. And Deb gave the phone number of the church to the head surgeon, who is the number one vascular surgeon at Mountain View Hospital. And I got a call, and he said, "Pastor Olson," he said, "the surgery went very well, and I'm thanking him again and again." And he says, "Well, you know, you really need to thank Dr. Ruggieroli, because he's the one who found this, and he found it at the perfect time. Your wife was at critical mass. If it wasn't found at the exact time it was found, and we had the surgery, it would have been something totally different." And what he was saying is, yes, Dr. Ruggieroli found it, but who was running and showing the entire plan for Deb's life? Our God, the living and true God, and his perfect plan. And it was the living and true God who worked in Dr. Ruggieroli's heart. And by the way, Dr. Ruggieroli is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his father, I was his father's patient. And his father is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Chuck Jr. is my cardiologist and Deb's cardiologist. But God has the perfect plan for each one of your lives. Perfect. And his timing is perfect. And you'll just open your eyes to see his perfect timing in your life. There's a time to live. There's a time to die. And when that time to die, it'll be on God's perfect timing. And the winner believer understands that. Totally relaxed. Deb was so relaxed through the entire thing. Doctors don't see that very often with patients. Very rarely. Here she is. She's been at critical mass with her heart, with several heart attacks and 95% blockage of the widowmaker artery. She had 95% blockage of the carotid artery. You wouldn't even know that she was even sick. She's in the office, Dr. Ruggieroli's office, and she is just as pleasant as you all know her in here. Day after day after day, she has a testimony that's absolutely phenomenal. And a while back, Deb has other things going on. She had to get an MRI of her chest, and Dr. Ruggieroli, he had to okay it, and he goes, "I'm not an oncologist, and I'm a cardiologist, and I don't know a damn thing about all of that stuff." And she says, "Well, you are the one that has to get the okay, or they won't even do the MRI." "Oh." And then he said to Deb, "You're a pain in the ass." Well, he knows that she's had so much, her body builds plaque all throughout the arteries and her heart. So Dr. Ruggieroli did an echo check and checking her carotid artery. And that's how he discovered it was blocked. And then he immediately, "You got to get a CT scan of the artery of your neck right now." She did. And the CT scan didn't come back after 2 days. The result didn't come back after 4 days, didn't come back after 7 days, didn't come back after 10 days. Dr. Ruggieroli calls Deb up, "Where's the results of the CT scan?" She goes, "Well, they told me it'd be 10 to 13 days that they are operating under a new insurance deal and it's slowing everything down." And Dr. Ruggieroli says, "That's horseshit." And then he said, "Oh, pardon my French." He says, and so he kept bugging them and bugging them and bugging them at Steinberg, and finally they called him and sent in the results. When he saw the results, he immediately, we were going to go out to dinner. In fact, we did go out to dinner. But we went out to dinner finding out that he said, you're going into the hospital tomorrow, Sunday, you're going into the hospital, surgery will be Monday. If you have anything that's abnormal between now and tomorrow, you get to the hospital immediately to emergency. And he says, I'll send on put it on your phone exactly what that CT scan showed, and you show them in emergency, they'll get you in now. He says, she says, can I go to church first on Sunday? He says, you want to go to church? He goes, yes, I do. He says, okay, right after church, go to emergency. So she was here Sunday, knowing that right after class, we'd go to emergency. She was admitted, got a room right away, met the doctor who did the surgery. But everything that they were saying, God's timing is perfect. And this should be the thinking of every one of you in here. God's timing is perfect for your life. Every one of you, perfect for your life. Trust Him. And give Him the honor and give Him the glory. And there'll be a time we're here. We have two phases of our life, a living phase and a dying phase. And we're here to glorify God in the living phase, and we're here to glorify God in the dying phase. And if this had been the dying phase, well, Dr. Ruggieroli and everybody she was around at Impact, they saw the impact of a winner believer. She was absolutely amazing. So wonderful. So gracious. And you know that. You see it here again and again and again. So she wanted me to tell all of you, thank you very, very much for your prayers. And frankly, you're the greatest prayer warriors anywhere in the world. You're the greatest prayer warriors. And so, thank you. And I got a brand new issue of the Israel My Glory, the May-June issue. And this perfectly is what we've been studying in many of our classes, including our classes here in Tuesday in Zechariah, and also coming up in Romans on Sunday. The uniqueness of the nation Israel and the Jewish people. And Satan has a plan. That plan is called anti-Semitism. Hatred of Israel, hatred of the Jewish people. He's got that thinking all over the world, hating Israel, hating the Jewish people. And the only explanation for it is that Satan, the ruler of this world, this is his plan to win the angelic conflict. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. This is the author of the executive director of the Friends of Israel. If I had met Eli Sharabi before Hamas's massacre in southern Israel on 7 October 2023, I might have had a much different story to tell you. Perhaps he and I would have shared an enjoyable, mundane conversation about our lives. We are nearly the same age. We are both married and have enjoyed raising two daughters. But on that dreadful October day, Eli's tranquil life was ripped away from him and replaced with one of cruelty and suffering. I recently listened to Eli speak at a local synagogue. The auditorium was packed with 1,500 people who had come to hear him share the brutality he experienced on the day of the massacre and the 491 days that followed, during which he was held hostage in Gaza. Eli spent most of his captivity deep underground in the darkness of the terrorist's elaborate tunnel system, where he was chained and tortured and humiliated. His captors regularly attempted to bribe him by offering a little more food than the 400 calories they allotted him daily, if he would read parts of the Quran. He has a best-selling book called Hostage, which recounts his plight in greater detail. As Eli described the unimaginable abuse he experienced, I considered the many similarities we shared and the main thing that differentiated us. He is Jewish and I am a Gentile. He and his beautiful family became targets of hatred and bloodlust, not because of their character or their actions toward Gazans, but because of something they can never change, their Jewish heritage. The Sharabi family had aided and supported their neighbors in Gaza. They had helped the people in Gaza. Yet Hamas did not spare them from violence. Eli said he only learned how much the people of Gaza truly hated Israelis when Hamas operatives kidnapped him on 7 October. While the terrorists transferred him from their vehicle to another vehicle, to another location in Gaza, many civilians, including children, grabbed him, beat him with their shoes, and shouted, "Allahu Akbar! Allah is greater." And Eli saw young minds indoctrinated in the evil of anti-Semitism. The world is indoctrinated in the evil of anti-Semitism. It's in America. It's all around planet Earth. It's in Iran. And that's the most terrorist organization nation in the world. Developing nuclear weapons to destroy, wipe out Israel and every Jew and the United States. They hate Israel. They hate the United States of America. Well, our studies in Zechariah have also revealed this very same thing. We've studied the first seven visions of Zechariah in chapters 1 through 5. God gave Zechariah 8 visions. We've studied the first 7 visions in chapters 1 through 5, and now we're in Zechariah 6, 1 through 8, where we have the final vision, vision number 8, the vision of the 4 chariots. This final vision would reveal God's judgments of the nations of the earth, symbolized by war chariots covering the earth. And then, after these 8 visions, then Joshua was crowned the high priest. Although it was only a symbolic act, his crowning was meant as a type, typology, or foreshadowing of the coming Messiah, who will be crowned both priest and king at his return at the second advent. The revelation in chapter 6 is a fitting culmination to the night visions and outlines future prophetic events that the Messiah will perform. In fact, it gets so fantastic. It's going to be very similar to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We're going to have Jesus Christ picked up, spotlight on, absolutely fantastic. This is the Old Testament version of Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. We have exegeted the first 6 verses. The first 3 sound like this. Then I turned once again and raised my eyes and looked. And behold, 4 chariots were coming from between 2 mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot, black horses, with the third chariot, white horses, and with the fourth chariot, spotted horses or dappled horses. All of them are very powerful. The 4 horse-drawn chariots that came from between those 2 bronze mountains symbolize God's universal judgment. The colors of these horses are not explained in Zechariah, but in Revelation chapter 6, 1 through 8, that sheds light on the significance of the colored horses. In Revelation 6, 4, red horses symbolize war. Revelation 6, 5 and 6, black horses symbolize famine and economic disaster. In Revelation 6, 2, white horses symbolizes conquest and victory. There is no spotted horse or dappled horse in Revelation 6, but in Revelation 6, verse 8, it may represent plagues and pestilence poured out on the earth. The black horses went to the north, the white horses went west, the spotted horses went south. Now this last vision, this eighth vision of the four chariots is a beautiful example of dual fulfillment. In dual fulfillment, there is a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. The near fulfillment occurred in Zechariah's day. The far fulfillment will occur in the tribulation. The near fulfillment is judgment on Babylon and the Jews who refuse to leave Babylon under Zechariah's warning. There are a lot of Jews living in Babylon at the time of Zechariah. They're living there because the details of life are more important than God and the Word of God. They don't want to leave. They're making lots of money. And the details of life, lots of money is more important. Big house, playing golf, all these kind of things. That's more important than God and His Word. Zechariah gave them a severe warning in Zechariah 2, 6, and 7. Attention! Move out! Can't get more. That's the way to do it. He didn't say, you know, you fellows, you just got to get, you know, come on down, you know. No. Attention, move out. Flee from the land of the north, Babylon, declares the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I have scattered you like the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord. Attention again. Get going, O Zion. Escape. You who are still living with the daughter of Babylon. Well, there's a lot of Jews that did not listen to Zechariah's warning. Now, there were some that did, and we're going to meet some who did. We're going to meet some of those Jews when they got the warning from Zechariah. They packed up and headed for Jerusalem. And why? What was the motive? Because God and the Word of God was more important than the details of life, more important than money, more important than these things. God and His Word was more important to them. And they had lots of money. And they left Babylon with lots of money. We're going to meet these guys. They came with all this money, and they gave the money to Zechariah so that they could make a very special crown. A very special crown that would be placed on Joshua the high priest, but then put in the temple. And always remind them that when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, comes back at the second advent, He will be crowned both priest and king. So here, and these were three Jews, left Babylon, responded to the warning from Zechariah, and moved to Jerusalem. But the near fulfillment here is judgment on Babylon and the Jews who refused to leave Babylon. The far fulfillment anticipates the future day of the Lord's, the future day of the Lord's judgment and the great tribulation when God will destroy the evil system of Babylon and all of Israel's enemies. Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And then we have exegeted verses 4 through 6. Verse 4, then I spoke and said to the angel, the teaching angel, who was teaching me, what are these, my Lord? And the teaching angel answered and said to me, Zechariah, these are the four spirits of heaven, elect angels, going out from standing in the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, to serve him. The elect angel with the black horses is going toward the north country, Babylon. The elect angel with the white horses is going after them. And the elect angel with the spotted horses is going to the south country, Egypt. Now, in verse 5, the word for spirit is the word ruach, which has a Greek equivalent, pneuma. Now, you call it pneuma, but there's no silent letters in Greek. That no Greek would ever say pneuma. He would say pneuma. Ruach in the Hebrew, pneuma in the Greek, Greek equivalent. And in our verse, ruach means spirit, and it refers to angels. In our verse, specifically, elect angels. It's used in the Word of God for elect angels, demons, demonic, fallen angels, incarcerated angels. But in our verse, Zechariah 6:5, ruach refers to elect angels. And they are called the four spirits of Hashemayim, the four spirits of heaven. So these are elect angels from heaven. They go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. These elect angels from heaven are serving the living and true God. They are ministers of God assigned to implement judgment. Judgment on the rebellious nations of the world prior to Christ's return. Verse 6, the elect angel with the black horses is going toward the north country, Babylon. The north country refers to Babylon. Near fulfillment is judgment on the Jews who refuse to listen to Zechariah. They refuse to listen to the warning in Zechariah 2, 6, and 7. And they will come under, though they will die, be destroyed, the sin unto death. So the near fulfillment is judgment on the Jews who refuse to listen to the warning from Zechariah in Zechariah 2, 6, and 7. They put the details of life, they put money, they put great material prosperity as more important than God and the Word of God. And therefore they came under great judgment. The far fulfillment will be the destruction of Babylon in the tribulation. The elect angel with the white horses is following after the elect angel with the black horses, and he's going to Persia because God is going to use Persia to invade Babylon and destroy Babylon and all those Jews who failed to listen to Zechariah's warning. Go ahead and take the box. Take the box. Okay, all right. I totally understand. The near fulfillment of this vision is Persia attacking Babylon and destroying it. So the elect angels with the white horses intensifies the judgment on Babylon and all those Jews who did not heed Zechariah's warning in Zechariah 2, 6, and 7. The elect angel with the spotted horses is going to the south, that's Egypt. And in the far fulfillment, these are elect angels, ministers of God, assigned to implement judgment on the rebellious nations of the world prior to Christ's return. In verse 5, the divine title, the Lord of the whole earth. Very special title. That divine title, the Lord of the whole earth, in verse 5, is a millennial designation describing the universal rule of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, over the entire earth in the future millennial kingdom. And we see that in Micah chapter 4. So turn over to Micah chapter 4. In verse 5, that divine title, the Lord of the whole earth, is a millennial designation describing the universal rule of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, over the entire earth in the future millennial kingdom. Micah chapter 4, verse 13. Rise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will give you horns of iron. I will give you hoofs of bronze, and you will break to pieces many nations. You will devote their ill-gotten gains to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of all the earth. The Lord of all the earth. Micah 4, verse 13. All right, that brings us to verse 7, and we just barely got started in the exegesis of verse 7. So far we have when the strong and powerful horses went out. When the strong and powerful horses went out. Now, the King James is horrible there. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's bad. In the King James, it says, and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. Sought. Have you ever seen sought? S-O-U-G-H-T? Okay. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the PL imperfect of bakash plus the cal infinitive construct of halak, and then halak's repeated. So we have a cal infinitive construct of halak followed by the hithpael infinitive construct of halak plus the preposition base prefix to the noun eretz. All right, well, first of all, bakash. Looks like that in the Hebrew. That's B-A-Q-A-S-H. Bakash. Okay, a couple of things on this verb. It's kind of a special word. One, literally, it means to seek. Literally, it means to seek. Now, point two, it's in the PL stem. It's in the PL stem, P-I-E-L, not P-E-E-A-L-E. That's it. That's something you do on your own somewhere else. It's the PL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. So three, the strong and powerful horses are not sought. They're straining at the bit. There. We're ready to go. That's what we have here with Baca. They're straining at the bit. Four, they're eager to go and patrol the whole earth. So they're bakashing in the PL stem. They're straining at the bit. They're eager to go and patrol the earth. Five, they are straining. And then we have halak ba'aretz. Halak. Point six is the verb to walk, but it's repeated twice. And the second time, point seven, is the hithpael stem, which is what we have here the second time, and it means to walk about, to move to and fro, to traverse in this direction and then that direction. That's the hithpael of halak. And eight, ba'aretz, is throughout the entire earth. Throughout the entire earth. So, corrected translation. When the strong and powerful horses went out, they were straining at the bit to traverse in this direction and that direction throughout the earth. And then we have, and he said, go from here. We always start with the King James. Walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. This is the conjunction vav. This is the same Hebrew word. Conjunction vav prefix to the cal imperfect of amer, plus the cal imperative of halak, plus the hith pa'el imperative of halak repeated, plus the preposition beth prefix to the noun eretz, that's repeated, plus the conjunction vav prefix to the hith pa'el imperfect of halak, that's repeated, plus the preposition beth prefix to the noun eretz, and that's all repeated. So the vav prefix to amer is a conversive vav converting the imperfect tense of amer into the perfect. So, one, amer, and he, the teaching angel, said. And he, amer, is he. He's the subject of amer, the teaching angel, said. Two, the teaching angel speaking for God the Father. The teaching angel is speaking for God the Father. Gave this order. Laku hith hauku ba'aretz. That's what the order he gave. Three, the order, go patrol the earth. So the teaching angel, speaking for God the Father, gave this order. Laku hith hauku ba'aretz. Go patrol the earth. Or traverse in this direction and that direction throughout the earth. Four, the order is, be ready to implement judgment. That's what this is all about. Be ready to implement judgment. And then we have, Vatith halekna ba'aretz. So they patrolled the earth. You translate that, so they patrolled the earth. They patrolled the earth in this direction and that direction throughout the earth. They patrolled the earth. So when the strong and powerful horses went out, they were straining at the bit to traverse in this direction and that direction throughout the earth. And he said, go patrol the earth. So they patrolled the earth in this direction and that direction throughout the earth. Now, verse 8. Then cried he to me and spoke unto me, saying, this is the conjunction vav prefix to the hifil perfect of za'ek, plus the sign of the accusative direct object with the first person singular suffix, plus the conjunction vav prefix to the pl imperfect of davar, plus the preposition el with the first person singular suffix, and then the infinitive of amer. But we have, first of all, za'ek. Za'ek. Looks like that. Z-A-I-N-E-Q. Za'ek. Now, literally, za'ek means to cry, or to cry out, or to call. Literally means to cry out, to call. In the cal stem, za'ek means to call out for help, or to cry out in need, in the cal stem. But we don't have the cal stem. We have the hifil stem. And the hifil stem is the causative stem of the Hebrew. So it means to be caused to cry out. Actually, this is Sometimes it's used to call out for military service. It's used that way very specially, but not in our verse, to call out for military service, to be caused to cry out, to have a proclamation made, to call out to or at someone. And then the conjunction vav is a transitional vav, correctly translated then. So the corrected translation. Then he, the teaching angel, speaking for God the Father, called out to me, Zechariah, and spoke to me, saying, Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. We have the cal imperative of ra'ah, imperative. This is a imperative, so cal imperative of the verb ra'ah, plus the cal active participle of yatsah, plus the preposition el joined by a makef to eretz, plus the noun tzafon, plus the hifil perfect of the verb nuach. You get anything there? Nuach. Plus the direct object marker joined by a makef to ruach. With the first, so we got nuach and ruach. With the first person singular suffix. Hey, you know, you got to enjoy. You didn't know Hebrew was so enjoyable, see? The preposition beth prefixed to eretz plus the noun tzafon repeated. All right, well, we have ra'ah, and we've had this verb many times, and literally, it means to see. So we have ra'ah, R-A-Aleph-A-H. We've had this many times, it's the verb to see, but when it's in the imperative mood, it's a command. Now it means look. It means to see so as to learn something. But it's a mandate. Look, see, so you learn something. To perceive. To look at and see by direct volition. You're using your own free will. It's used of mental observation. It's used to look at with interest, to concentrate. In the imperative mood, it is look, concentrate. And then we have Hayotzeim el Eretz Tzafon, and that is those going toward the north country. Those going toward the north country. Hayotzeim el Eretz Tzafon. And then we have the verb nuach. N, long U, A, C, H. Nuach. All right, a couple of things. One, nuach literally means to rest. Literally means to rest. Point two, figuratively, it means to repose, to be quiet, to have rest. To repose, to be quiet, to have rest. Three, in the hifil stem, which is what we have, it means to cause to rest, to give rest to cause to rest, to give rest to. And then four, so nuach is giving rest to ruach. Isn't that great? Nuach is giving rest to ruach with the first person singular suffix. Have given rest to my spirit. have given rest to my spirit. And then we have Erzafon in the North Country, in the land of the North. So, corrected translation. Then he, the teaching angel, speaking for God the Father, called out to me, Zechariah, and spoke to me, saying, look, concentrate. Those going toward the North Country have given rest to my spirit in the land of the North. One. That phrase, those going toward the North Country have given rest to my spirit, means they have appeased God's wrath, God's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. So that phrase, those going toward the North Country have given rest to my spirit, means they have appeased God's wrath, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. How? By executing His judgment on the nations. By executing His judgment on the nations. Two, they have satisfied the holiness of God. They have satisfied the holiness of God. God is holy. And the holiness of God is made up of two attributes, His absolute righteousness and His perfect justice. That makes up the holiness of God. They have satisfied the holiness of God, the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. How? By bringing judgment on the nations. By bringing judgment on the nations. Three. This prophecy anticipates the future day of the Lord's judgment in the great tribulation. This prophecy anticipates the future day of the Lord's judgment in the great tribulation when God will destroy the evil system of Babylon and all of Israel's enemies. So this prophecy anticipates the future day of the Lord's judgment in the great tribulation, when God will destroy the evil system of Babylon and all of Israel's enemies. Four, only then will God's spirit be appeased and have complete rest. Only then will God's Spirit be appeased and have complete rest. So, Zechariah 6, 1 through 8, the last vision. Then I turned once again and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. With the first chariot were red horses. With the second chariot, black horses. With the third chariot, white horses. With the fourth chariot, spotted horses. All of them are very powerful. Then I spoke and said to the angel, the teaching angel who was teaching me, what are these, my Lord? And the teaching angel answered and said to me, Zechariah, these are the four spirits of heaven, elect angels, going out from standing in the presence of the Lord, the whole earth, to serve Him. The elect angel with black horses is going toward the north country, Babylon. The elect angel with the white horses is going after them. And the elect angel with the spotted horses is going to the south country, Egypt. When the strong and powerful horses went out, they were straining at the bit to traverse in this direction and that direction throughout the earth. And he said, go patrol the earth. So they patrolled the earth in this direction and that direction throughout the earth. Then he, the teaching angel, speaking for God the Father, called out to me, Zechariah, and spoke to me, saying, look, concentrate. Those going toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the land of the north. All right. Now that brings us to Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. Zechariah 6, 9 to 15. Now Joshua the high priest is going to come back on the scene. And we're going to have the crowning of Joshua the high priest. And we're also going to have three Jews who left Babylon, who listened to the warning from Zechariah in Zechariah 2, 6, and 7. And they left Babylon. They came to Jerusalem. And they came to Jerusalem with lots of loot, lots of money. But they came because God and the Word of God was more important than everything, all the money, details of life and prosperity in Babylon. And so when they came to worship the Lord. And they came with money and they gave the money to Zechariah to make a very special crown. We're going to see this is a very unique crown. And it was placed on Joshua the high priest, but it was just temporarily, symbolically, and then placed in the temple to illustrate the fact that the Messiah is coming back. He's coming back at the second advent, and he will be crowned priest and king and rule as priest and king in the millennial kingdom. All of that we have here in Zechariah 6, verses 9 to 15. So, the crowning of Joshua. Zechariah 6, 9. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is the conjunction vowel, prefix to the cal imperfect of Hayah, plus the construct of the noun davar, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton, plus the preposition el with the first person singular suffix, and the cal infinitive construct of amer. First of all, we have a vav, and the vav is a transitional vav, and it may be correctly translated and, moreover, now, or then. We'll translate it then. Then, and the vav is also a conversive vav, converting the imperfect of the verb hayah into a perfect. And then we have the verb hayah. H-A-Y-A-H. Hayah. Now, literally, hayah means to fall out, to come to pass, to become. To fall out, to come to pass, to become. Figuratively, it is used in lively narrative. It comes from BDB, the Hebrew lexicon. Lively narrative. And can mean to arise, to appear, to come, with the conversive vav, you translate it, then the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord is Devar, and the Tetragrammaton. Is joined by a makef. That's a makef right there. Devar, makef, and then the Tetragrammaton. So that's D, Shiva, B, A, R, Y, H, W, H. The holiest name for God in the scriptures. So you translate that. Then the word of Jehovah came. Then the word of the Lord came. And the preposition L with the first person singular suffix, to me, Zechariah, and the cal infinitive construct of Amer, saying. So, then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying. Okay. Got to come back next week. Find out what it was saying. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our own lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.